In the early part of Genesis, we get much admonition for how to live our lives. And I want to preach from one of those simple, profound truths that we often read over and take for granted and assume some kind of a meaning. I also have been asked to write an article on this, and so it really zeroed in on this week and recently. We can turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. And through verse 31 will be our text. Created in the image and likeness of God is the title of the sermon this morning. At our farm, we hire a man named Santos to work for us. He doesn't know English any better than I know Spanish. He grew up in a very poor part of Guatemala, but Santos, like the rest of us, thrives on a smile and a thumbs-up gesture to signal your approval for what he does. He enjoys invitations to the supper table and a chance to sit and relax in the recliner and to communicate in the limited way that he can. Santos does have one thing in common with President Biden, and that makes him a person of value. Are you struggling with self-acceptance? It might be the color of your skin, or the social standing you find yourself in, or maybe you are not successful economically as others in business. Possibly you are not as good at keeping house as other people are. Well, I'd just like to say that if your acceptance is in your performance in these things, in business, your abilities, and so forth, then you are doomed to feeling inadequate. There will be always someone who is bigger in business, have more money, or have a cleaner house than you. If, however, your acceptance is based on what you are in the sight of God, you are in good company. All three, Santos, President Biden, and you, no matter how rich or poor, how famous or unknown you are, were created in the image of God. With our society controlled by the likes of Black Lives Matter, Defund the Police movement, and many anti-bullying movements, Planned Parenthood, of course abortion, and legalized euthanasia of the old and discrepant, a world full of child abuse, spousal abuse, and outright murder and killing of many, and the white privilege, critical race theory, and much, much more. It is time that we look at this subject of being created in the image of God to get us back, to move us back to a common, profound understanding of who we are in the place of God. Not only who we are, but who our brother and fellow humans are. Now, I'd like to say, first of all, that created in the image and likeness of God is that sin has marred this image. Sin has marred desperately this image. That's probably the first thing we ought to talk about, and it could be a whole sermon. The sin has marred the image of God. And therefore we have what we have here in our world today in 2021 with very little respect for the creation of God in making us in His image. I often wondered when I was young, what does God look like? And I just assumed that God looks something like a person. Well, there are much deeper things that the image of God is. I don't really believe. I think that as far as God's physical attributes, I wonder if there even are any. Listen to this verse from Job in chapter 10 and verse 11. Job said, in talking about himself, "Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, and hast fenced me with bones and sinews." So in other words, God, he was created in the image of God. He understood this. But this skin was just a cloth over who he really was. "And hast fenced me with bones and sinews." This was his makeup, his physical makeup, enclosed his real person. And so I hope we can understand that there's much deeper meaning than the being created in the image and likeness of God than the physical attributes that we all carry. Let's read our text from Genesis 1, verse 24 to verse 31. "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The animals were made," just a little commentary here, "the animals were made after their kind, but man was made after the image of God." Significant difference. "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given thee green herb for meat. And it was so. And God said, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Man was created on the sixth day. Sixth day of creation. There are six literal days, 24-hour days that God created man. And God said, his own commentary was, "Behold, it was very good. It was without mistake. It was without sin. It was with perfect worship. That is the way man created. But oh, what a tragedy sin has created in the image and likeness of God. Let's turn over quickly to Romans 1. And I would like to just talk about that for a little bit. And see, that Romans 1, 21 to the end of the chapter, and I want to look at how sin has changed the image of man being created in the image and likeness of God. Romans 1, 21. Verse 21 says, and this is the Apostle Paul, he's talking about how far man will go, how far into sin man will go. 21 says that because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Listen, everybody knows God, atheists or not. What they claim, they know God. They at one point knew God. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't worship him as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. How 2021 is that? It is so real to our life we're living, the contemporary life that we're living in. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, here's what I want to underline. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God and worshiped the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. 2021. Gave them up to uncleanness. God said, oh, you're not going to worship me? You know, you're not going to accept my overtures? You're not going to worship me? Then I'm going to give you up to uncleanness. That's 2021, right? Uncleanness. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. We see it happening all over the place. The people are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. There is a difference, folks. The creature, ourselves, worshiping ourselves, finding secular answers through secular humanism and atheism and evolution and all that. That is all just serving the creature. And then in verse 26, God gave them up. Again, those words. God gave them up to vile affections. And then even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. I don't recommend you to read Fox News too much, but yesterday Fox News had an article there that they are thinking about, there's a group in the United States who is thinking about eliminating the terminology of male and female. Folks, it's because of transgenderism and homosexuality and all that has pervaded our society, and the people that are intellectual groups and so forth, that they have had this kind of an influence. And brethren, we are living in the last times, in the last of the last times, and it's an evil world out there. Homosexuality is sin. We must make no apologies about that. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the third God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A reprobate mind, a mind without judgment. They can't think straight. That's so, again, that's 2021. And then verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, and debate, malignity, whisperers, and so forth. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Did you know that 70% of Americans now think it's okay? It's okay to cohabitate and not get married? Think it's all right? It is not all right, and God will bring judgment. I want to look at 4 points, and there's many of them we could look at in relation to being created in the image of God. And some of this is I'm going to have to be rather blunt, and so I hope you bear with me. But number one, human life is sacred. We are uniquely created in the image of God. We reflect His attributes to a certain extent. No other species of creation can relate to God in the ways that we are created to relate to Him. No other can enter into a relationship with Him and understand God. We can understand and know God through the work of Jesus Christ especially. We can know Him as our personal God. No other species can do that. You know why? It says in Genesis 2 and 7, and God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Man was laying there and he was like formed nostrils and all. And God breathed into his image the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You have that breath of life within you. The image of God. You are created in His image. And God holds life sacred. It wasn't very long after that in Genesis 4 when Cain slew Abel. He went up to, God went to Cain and he said, "What hast thou done?" And he told him something very revealing. He said, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth to thee from the ground." Dear ones, if you take human life, if you shed human blood, God cares and He sees it. We are not made by evolutionary processes that are evolved by chance and the result of the survival of the fittest over millions of years, but are the product of divine decree and were brought into life by sovereign attention to details of our makeup. We are given life by God, the detail-loving, all-knowing creator of every life. He is the source of life. Turn with me over to Psalm 139. There could be many places we go, but this was a one that came to my mind. Let's look at how God has designed each one of us. Psalm 139 and verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast created my inward parts. Another version says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, in that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. At conception, when you were conceived, God attended that day. God was in the presence. He was there. And he said, give Darwin, give Joe this. He was in a sovereign attention to the details of your makeup. He made us have life. He created us life. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And then, in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. At conception, God was there. Dear ones, a conceived fetus or infant is a human being. Is a human being. And its destruction and its murder is noticed by the Creator. In our immediate church history, the generation preceding us took the position that life was of God. And when evolution began to be taught in the schools, and they took a stand and separated to biblical-based church schools, where the Bible was the basis for destruction, basis for instruction of our children. This was not a light thing, to be taught evolution. No creator. That we came to be by chance. Government intrusion into our lives is growing at an alarming rate. And they want us to tell how to teach our children, what to teach our children. The plan is, it seems to me, so that we cannot exist without the government. Is there a connection between the difficulty to operate our schools in the society we live among and this very foundational doctrine of being created in the likeness of God? Human life is sacred, and there's much I can say about that, but human life is sacred. Number two. When we are created in the image and likeness of God, it means human equality. Prejudice, partiality and discrimination to another human being is unreasonable and it's wrong, because he is made after the similitude of God. Let's go over to James. James chapter 3 and verse 9. James chapter 3 and verse 9. These words are, "Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, being made in the image of God." Being made in the image of God is a common factor of humanity, and we have no right to curse and despise another human being, no matter the race, the intelligence, the religion, or the color. We have no right because to criticize and have prejudice against other human beings for their race, their color, their intelligence. It is so wrong. James says it is wrong because he is made in the image of God. And the Apostle Paul says that he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Now, I can appreciate all you brethren and sisters out here that have taken on families that are not of your biological family. It is the image and likeness of God. It is a good thing. Every person has tremendous worth in the eyes of God because he was created in his image. God does not sit idly by and watch the senseless slaughter and abuse of humanity. The NIV says in Genesis 9:5, "And surely I will require the life of any man or beast whose hand your life blood is shed. I will demand an accounting of anyone who takes the life of his fellow men. Whosoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind." God notices and holds accountable the slaughter of any person. The argument in today's world is that an unfunctional human being can be a target of slaughter, like a baby in the womb. Listen, no matter how functional or unable to survive outside of the womb, he is still created in the image of God. There are 8 states that have legalized assisted suicide or euthanasia in the world in which we live. 8 of them. It tells us that our society is moving at a rapid pace away from this foundational principle of created in the likeness of God. I am challenging and asking you to stand tall for what's right and what's biblical, and that is the creation, the sacredness of human life. Third is the sacredness of marriage. The sacredness of marriage. It said back in Genesis, male and female created he them. And in Mark, it says that, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So when they are no more twain, but one flesh. Wherefore, What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Marriage is sacred. We are assigned a gender by the Creator Himself. He works through the intricate process of reproduction. Like I said before, God attends the conception of every human being. The Creator assigned our agenda in His all-knowing wisdom. It is for the ongoing propagation of the human race. His plan is good, and He has assigned equal percentage to male and female. His plan to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth is carried out in the union and confines of sacred marriage. Man and woman are physically attracted to each other. There is nothing wrong with that attraction. Intimate relationships exist in the sacredness of the marriage union of one man and one woman. It is an affront to God to resist our gender assignment. It is a sin to be intimate outside of this. It is only through, if we have sinned, repentance and sorrow for sin is the way to receive wholeness. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. First Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 11 is the verse I want. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. We cannot have these people practicing these kind of sexual immorality in our church. As verse 11 says, and such were some of you. We all came from sin. We all were sinners. And there's no sin that is so bad that we can't be washed, sanctified, and justified. But it is in the past. Dear ones, today, sacred marriage is a foundation of keeping us to honor this principle of being created in the likeness of God. The New Testament elevates this to thought life. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Dear ones, marriage is sacred. It is there that the propagation of the race is holy, and it is very good, like God said. Number 4, being created in the image and likeness of God means an eternal existence of the soul. The question is often asked, what happens after we die? Well, different places in Scripture we see what happens after we die. But in John 5:28 and 29, it talks about the resurrection. He said, those that are in the grave shall hear the voice of Jesus, and they all shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. One of the things that happens when we are created in the image and likeness of God, our soul will exist forever. And dear ones, the choices in your life have to do a lot with the destiny of your soul. We read about death. We hear about death. There's a calling hours this afternoon. Where did that soul go? Dear ones, we will exist forever. No other species in God's creation was breathed life by God Himself. Because of this breath of God, we are given a soul that will live and exist forever. Therefore, human life is sacred. We cannot hate or kill another human being because his breath is given and planned by God. From conception to death, man carries this sacred endowment of the image of God. Murder, suicide, euthanasia, and abortion and prejudice are all evil acts to the sanctity of humanity and will be judged by their Creator. We as a society have believed that life is just a physical thing. The presence of God does attend each conception of a human being. Therefore, it is a sin to use anything that destroys a human being that is conceived, no matter how unable to function it is on its own. Every infant, every person is going to stand at the judgment bar of God. That is one thing that struck me as I studied for this, is that the image of God is the criteria for standing at the judgment bar of God. How is it with you today? God has given us this sacred trust, and there's so many things that we could talk about. Do you find your identity, and you think it's a small thing to dress in ways that are provocative to the other sex? Do you? Do you think it's a small thing and a casual thing to view pornography on your phone? It's serious, brethren and sisters. It's serious. Because it takes sledgehammer blows at this very foundational principle that we must live by. And that is being created in the image of likeness of God. The man of God will find his highest satisfaction and ultimate worship in being an object of his redemption. Jesus is the image and likeness of God, it says in 2 Corinthians 4. May God help us to maintain and be determined to maintain this very basic principle, even though we are awash with thinking that might change us. That is coming into the church, coming into our schools. Being created in the image and likeness of God is a sacred endowment from the Creator Himself. I have always been impressed with a man and woman named Roman and Barbara Miller. They were at the Darwin congregation, and they took in Tina to foster her. Tina, who was disabled, was not able to talk, was not able to walk, and was not able to respond. Tina took constant 24-hour care, and she lived for 30 years. But Roman and Barbara cared for her until she died. Why? There was no inheritance to get from Tina. There was no blessing from Tina. There was nothing to receive from Tina. But they did this because she was made in the image of God. Tina someday will walk in glory. She also be present at the judgment. And she will be somewhere in eternity forever. We will stand before God at the judgment because we were His image bearers. Santos, President Biden, and all of us sitting here will attend the vast crowd, says in Matthew 25, of all nations, and stand before judgment. And we will go to the right, or we will go to the left. And it has a lot to do with how we've honored this principle of being created in the image of God.